ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Byron. Meseches Bava Basra has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yehuda Koenig in loving memory of Malka and Aaron Zvi Krausman.
Basra Daf Kuf Mem Vav. The Mishnah discusses the din of Sivloinis, which the Rashbam explains there was a minug that the Chosin sent to the Kala after the Kedushin at different types of presents, Tachshitin, Mineperis, Vikadayayim, Vikadayshemen. And the Mishnah discusses what happens with these Sivloinis in a case where they never ended up having the Nesuin, either he died or she died, or he was Chayzer and he decided to be Megarisher. In a case where she was Chayzer, that then is Poshet, there the Sivlanis are always given back. That we see at the end of the Sugya right before the Mishnah. But in one of the other cases where one of them died or where he was Chayzer, when do we say that she has to pay back these Sivlanis? And the Mishnah differentiates between the case of Ochel Shom Seudas Chosin, if the Chosin ate a dinar's worth at the suda that they prepared, l'chvayd l'chosin, then the din is he does not have a schus to be taveir the sivlainis. Hashenken, if he did not eat by the suda's chosin, a dinar's worth, then the din is he does have a right to claim the sivlainis. Now, to summarize the sugya, according to the sheet of the Rashbam, there are three differentiations that determine when he has a right to get the sivlainis back. The first differentiation, which the Mishnah says clearly, it depends if he ate a suda's chosin bebeis chamov. According to the Rashbam, there's another differentiation, that which the Mishnah says in the end, Shalach Sivlanis Mruben Shiyachsru Imal Beis Baila. According to Rashbam, this means to say he specified that the Sivlanis are intended to bring along with her when she comes to move into his house by the Nesuin. In that case, the din is they are Nigveh, the Sivlanis is Nigveh. According to Rashbam, this means to say even if he did not eat by the Sudas Chosin, Mashenkein, the Mishnah says, if it's Sivlanis Muatin, Shetishtamish Behem Beis Aviyo, Ein Nigvin, that means to say that if he specified that the Sivlanis are intended to be used in her father's house, then he does not have a schus to get the Sivlanis back, again, regardless of whether or not he ate in the Beis Chomov. As the Rashbam explains, the ratio of the Mishnah, which is Mechaik, whether the Chosin ate a dinar or not, that's talking about a case of Stam. He did not specify either way if the Sivlanis are to be used Bebeis Aviyo or Bebeis Baila. That's where the Mishnah tells us that it depends on Achila's dinar. Now, the Lashon of the Mishnah in the Seifa, Sivlanis Mruben and Sivlanis Mwatin, the Rashbam explains, is Lav Dafka. It's not dependent on how much Sivlanis there were, rather Urcho de Milsa Noka, that's the normal thing, that if he sent Nechasim Mruben, he'll specify that the intention is that she should bring it along with her when she comes to the husband's house. Shaking Nechasim Mwatin, the normal thing would be that he should specify that it's to use Bebeis Aviyo, but it's not really told in how much Sivlanis there were. Now, according to the Rashbam, there's a third Chiluk, which the Mishnah does not mention Befurish. The Gemara mentions this, and that is there's a chiluk between the Sivlanis Hasuyin Levalois and Sivlanis Sheein Hasuyin Levalois. Which the Rashbam explains, this means to say, even in a case when we say that he was Meichel the Sivlanis, like in the case of the Mishnah where he ate a dinar's worth, the dinar is that he's Meichel, he's only Meichel the Sivlanis Hasuyin Levalois, types of items which get consumed, but Sivlanis Sheein Hasuyin Levalois, there even in the case where he ate a dinar's worth, still a dinar is he has a right to be Teveya and get back the Sivlanis. So again, according to the Rashbam, there are three chilukim. One chiluk, as the Mishnah says, whether he ate or not. A second chiluk, whether he was mefarish, what the intention of the sivlanis are. And a third chiluk, which is mentioned in the Gemara, the nature of the sivlanis themselves, is it something which gets consumed or something which lasts? And as we'll see, other Rishonim argue on the Rashbam. The Ritva, the Muki Yosef, as well as the Ran and the Rabbeinu Yonah also, and this is how the Mashal learns Bedas Taisvis and the Rashchal Sivlanis, all these Rishonim learn that which the Mishnah is mechalik between Sivlanis Merubim and Sivlanis Mewatim, that really is the same chilik which is mentioned in the Gemara, Sivlanis that are Osi Levalis and Sivlanis that are not Osi Levalis. They don't want to learn like the Rashbam, that the Seif of the Mishnah is talking about a case where he was Mefarish, he said clearly what his intentions are, and the Seif of the Mishnah is mechalik between Sivlanis Merubim, which the Rishonim explained means to say, items which Bederach Klal last for a long time, as opposed to Sivlanis Mewatim, items which get used up. The Rishonim stress that Merubin and Mewatin is not referring to the amount of the Sivlanis. For example, the case which the Gemara brings, a case of Mea Kroinis Shal Kadei Yayin V'Kadei Shemen, even 100 Kroinis worth of wine and oil would be considered Sivlanis Mewatim, since it's an item which gets consumed. And Sivlanis Merubin doesn't necessarily mean a large amount, it just means an item which lasts for a long time. The Rishonim explain, this is what the Gemara means to be Mechalik between the Sivlanis Asuyin Levalis and Sivlanis Ein Hasuyin Levalis. This is not a new chilek, this is the same which the Mishnah says. Sivlanis Hasuyin Levalis is another way of saying Sivlainis Muatim, something which gets used up quickly, and Sivlainis She'en Nesuyin L'Valis, that's the same as the Mishnah, Sivlainis Merubin, is something which lasts for a long time. This is what Taisis says as well, as the Mashra explains. In the Tap Taisis, Dibur Maschal Sivlainis, he says, V'hodu Tana Merubin, Shetavi Ima Ben Beis Avia L'Beis Baila, Hare'ilu Nigvin, Hainu Ein Nesuyin L'Valis. Sivlainis Merubin, which is mentioned in the Mishnah, that the din is that it is collected, it does go back to the husband. That's the same thing as Ein Nesuyin L'Valis, and the way the Rishayim learn, the Mishnah does not mean that he was Mefarish, the way the Rashbam explains the Mishnah, even if he didn't say Mefurish, but since it's Sivlainis Merubin, which means something which does not get used up, the understanding is that the intention is that it should come along with her to her husband's house, and therefore if they never end up having Nesuyin, it goes back to the husband. The Seif of the Mishnah, the case of Sivlainis Muatin, that's something which gets used up, it's Asuyin L'Valis, there the intention is that it should be used B'Beis Avia, and that's what the Mishnah, the ratio was Mechalik, if it was Ochel B'Beis Chamov, the amount of a dinar, then he does not have a right to be Tevea, those Sivlainis, saying if he didn't eat anything, then he does have a schus to be Tevea, even the Sivlainis Muatin, which were intended to be used B'Beis Avia. Now one of the kashas that the Rishayim ask on the Rashbam, the Ritva asks this kasha, and this would seem to be the Iker reason why the Ritva does not want to learn the Sigla like the Rashbam. He asks, according to the way the Rashbam learns the Seif of the Mishnah, they were talking about a case where he said Beferish, what his intentions were, what is the Chiddush of the Mishnah? The Chayetz Pashat, if he said, I'm sending the Sivlainis with the intention that you bring it back to Beis Baila after the marriage, then it's Pashat that if they never ended up having Nesuin, he has the right to be Tevea them. Hashaykin, in a case where he said Mefurish, that the intention is that you should use these nechasim bebeis avia, the other din is that he does not have a right to get it back. L'chari, if he said befeish, what his kavana is, what is the chiddush of the Mishnah? And l'chari, b'das the Rashbam, what you have to say is, the chiddush is in the last case of the Mishnah, where he said befeish, I'm sending these sivlainis to be used bebeis avia, so even though he said clearly what the intention of the nechasim are, one still could have said that his das is to send these presents to be used bebeis avia, since eventually they can have a nisuin. But perhaps he would say that if we don't end up having Nisuin, I would want the Nechasim back. He didn't say Meferish that he's going to be Meichel them even if there is no Nisuin. That Lachar is the Chiddush of the Mishnah according to the Rashbam. Once he said Meferish what the intention of the Nechasim is, then we understand that his Kavanah is also, even if they never end up having a Nisuin, he means to be Meichel and not be Tever the Sivlainis back. Now continue on further down the Omer, the Gemara brings the Shailah, and here there are two Yersayis in the Gemara. The Girsa that we have b'faneinu, Ibayluhu Mahu Sheyeshalesh Shvach Sivlainis. And the Girsa of the Rif and the Rosh is instead of the word Sheyeshalesh, the Girsa Sheyeshalim, according to them, the Gemara is asking one Shailah, Mahu Sheyeshalim Shvach Sivlainis, meaning in a case where the Sivlainis are supposed to be given back to the Chosin, whatever the case may be, either because he didn't eat a dinar's worth, Bebeis Chamov, or it's the type of Sivlainis which are Sivlainis Merubin, they do go back. The suffix is, who's the one to be marviach, to gain from the shvach? Do we say that the Sivlainis have to be given back together with the shvach? Now the Rashbam apparently also did not have the girsa of Mao Sheyeshalesh. Only later on he brings B'Shem Rabbeinu Chananel, who didn't have such a girsa. But HaKabarim, if you are girsa these words, Mao Sheyeshalesh, as we'll see, there are two mahachim and Rishonim had to understand what exactly is this suffix of Mao Sheyeshalesh. The way the Rashbam brings, he quotes B'Shem Rabbeinu Chananel, he explains the suffix of the Gemara is, now the Mishnah says that if the Sivlainis were Meya Mone and the Chosin ain't a dinar's worth, so he does not get this back the Sivlainis. And Rav and the Gemara explained that Dafka Dinar of Apochos Medinar Loi, and that Gemara is a Shaila, does Rav mean to say that if he ate less than a dinar, then he's not Meichel anything and all of the Sivlainis go back, or do we say that it works proportionally? In other words, if he ate a full dinar, he's Meichel all of them, but if he only ate half of a dinar, then he's Meichel half of the Nechosim, or if he ate a third of a dinar, he's Meichel a third of the Nechosim. The rest of the Nechasim go back. This is how Rabbeinu Chananel learns the suffix of the Gemara, and the Gemara leaves off Beteku. Taisus as well, in Dibar Maschal Iboilahu, he had the Girsa which the Gemara asks this Shaila of Mao Sheyeshalesh, and he learns the Gemara suffix the same. Now in the Rimagash, he also had this Girsa, that the Gemara had a Shaila of Mao Sheyeshalesh. However, he has a different way of explaining what exactly the suffix is. He explains the Gemara's Shaila is, and now which the Mishnah says, that if the Sivlainis was Mea Mone, then if the Chosin eats a dinar, he's Meichel. The Gemara Shaila is, maybe the shear of achila of a dinar is only if the Sivlainis was a mea mone. If the Sivlainis would be chamisha mone, for example, he wouldn't have to eat a full dinar, even if he'd only eat a half a dinar, also we would say that he's meichel of the Sivlainis. In other words, the Gemara Safik is, maybe the mechila is dependent on the amount of the Sivlainis. He has to eat a certain amount, dependent on how much the Sivlainis were, in order for us to assume that he means to be meichel the Sivlainis. The other side of the Gemara is that it's not dependent on how much the Sivlonis were. Regardless of how much they were, the shear is always the same. It has to be that he ate a dinar's worth. This is how the Rima Gash explains the Sofik of the Gemara, Ma'o Shigishalesh, and this is a whole different understanding than the way the Rashbam and Tosfos learn. According to the Rashbam and Tosfos, the Gemara never had a Shiloh that the shear of a dinar should be dependent on how much Sivlonis there were. The shear of dinar is always the same. Meaning, in order for it to be considered a Mechil on all of the Sivlonis, it makes no difference how much Sivlonis there were. In order for it to be considered a Mechil on everything, it has to be that he ate a full dinar. The Suffolk of the Gemara is there such a thing as a partial Mechila? If he ate a half of dinar, is that a Mechila on half of the Sivlonis? According to the Rima Gash understands the Suffolk of the Gemara, there's no tzad to say that there's such a thing as a partial Mechila. It's either all or nothing. Either he's Mechil all of the Sivlonis, or he's not Mechil any of them. The Suffolk of the Gemara is the shear of a dinar dependent on how much Sivlonis there were? Perhaps only for Mea Mana, that's where the shear is a dinar. Maybe for Chamisha Mana, the shear will be a half a dinar. That's the Suffolk of the Gemara. Now in the Sefer Yad Rima, in Ois Ayin Beis, he also brings the Suffolk of Ma'o Shigishalish. He learns Al Derech L'Rashbam and Taisis. And earlier on in Ois Ayin, he brings, now what Shavah says, that when the Mishnah says a dinar, it's Bedafka. The Yad Rima points out that even though dinar in the Mishnah is Bedafka, but Mea Mana is Lavdafka, it makes no difference how much the Sivlonis were. It could be a mana, it could be 100 mana, it could be 1,000. The din always is the same. That the chasn, if he ate a dinar, he's meichel the Sivlonis. If not, he's not meichel the Sivlonis. And he proves this. He says, if you're going to say that mea mana is also bedafka, which would mean the Mishnah is giving us a shear, that if the Sivlonis was a mea mana, then achilas dinar is considered a mechila. But in Echnam, it's really proportionate. If the Sivlonis was 50 mana, then achila of a chatzi dinar would be a mechila. He says this cannot be, because if so, it would come out that if he only sends a sivlonis of a money, then the amount that's necessary for the chassan to eat in order to be considered a mechila would be even less than a pruta, and that can't be, because less than a pruta is not considered a mamin. Kemandali ochol midi dami, it would be considered as if he didn't eat anything if he ate less than a pruta. Therefore, a karchach, the din of the mishnah is not according to the ratio. The din always is the same, regardless of how much the sivlonis were. The shear, how much the chasn has to eat in order for it to be considered a mechila, is always a dinar's worth of food. Akwam, this discussion of the Yad Rima is not about the suffix of the Gemara. As we said, he learns the suffix of Ma'o Shigishalish, Al Derech L'Rashbam, and Taisvis. However, L'Cher, it would come out of Kasha, based on the way we said the Rima Gash learns the suffix of the Gemara. He learns Ma'o Shigishalish Gufa, is that the Gemara had a suffix, maybe the shear of a dinar is only if the Sivlonis is Me'a Mane. If the Sivlonis is 50 Mane, the shear will be half a dinar. The shear, how much he has to eat, is dependent on how much the Sivlonis were. And the Chayr, according to the Rima Gash, is Pshat in the Gemara, the Kasha of the Yad Rima would apply. How could Gemara have such a Safik? If so, it would come out that if the Sivlonis was only a Mone, the Shear Achil would come out to be even less than a Pruto. And as the Yad Rima asks, less than a Pruto is not considered Mammon, it's insignificant. What we'll have to say, but that's the Rima Gash is, as he explains, the Safik of the Gemara is, maybe the Shear of the Mishnah is proportionate, only if the Sivlonis is Me'a Mone, that's when the Chasn has to eat a dinar. If the Sivlonis is less, then the amount of the Chila will also be less. But in Echnami, there will be a minimum. It will never be less than a pruta. The chassan will have to eat a minimum of a pruta. If he eats less than a pruta, it will never be considered a mechila, regardless of how little the Sivlonis were. So this is all in the Shaila of the Gemara Ma'o Shigishalish, according to the Shainim who are Geiris this Shaila. As far as the next Shaila, Shvach Sivlonis Ma'o, the Gemara is a suffix who gets the Shvach, meaning in a case where the Sivlonis do go back, whether it's because the chassan didn't eat a dinar, or because it was Sivlonis which are Einasuyin Levalis, the Shaila is who gets the Shvach, and the Gemara explains, what are the study HaShaila? Do we say, Kivan de Isnahu l'didei Hadri b'shusei Shavuach? Since if they were here, they would go back to him, meaning it's Neskal l'mafreya, that they were his all along, since he only gave it to Aldas, that there will be a Nesuin. And then there was no Nesuin, so the whole Matana was a Tais. If so, he should get the Shvach, because they were his all along. I don't know what the Gemara says, Kivan de Avdiyai Mignvi b'y Shlumilei b'shusei Dida Shavuach. Since if they will be lost or stolen, then it will be that she has to replace them. That thing where it holds perhaps is a raya that really they're considered hers. In other words, we don't say that the matana was nispata l'mafreya. Rather, the matana was chal b'teres vaday. It definitely became hers. No matter what happens eventually, we're not going to say that the matana originally was a tais. Just if in the end there is no nisuin, she then becomes mechuyev to replace them. But ba'esed and nechassim were really in her shus all along. Therefore, she should be the one who gets the shvach. Like a pshuta, it would seem from the Gemara that this is pashut that the din is true, that if the Sivlonis were lost or stolen from the house of the Isha, she's mechuyev to replace them. The Safek of the Gemara just is this enough to prove to us that the Nechassim really were considered to be in her Rishos, and therefore she should get the Shvach? And the Shaila is, Rabbi Chanan the Kavitshuyam discusses this, and he's tough kuf test, why is it so partial that the din is true, that she's mechuyif b'gneva v'aveido? According to the tzad of the Gemara, that he gets the shvach, meaning it turns out that it was his all along, during the time that it was by her, she wasn't holding it as a shomer sachar, she was holding it because the intention at that point in time was that she would be able to keep it. Since she was holding it as her own, Rabbi Chanan says it should have a similar din to a case of matana amenas lahachzer. The din is if one receives a matana amenas lahachzer, and it's nignav or nevad, whilst in reshus of the one who received the matana, the Rashbam and Yesh Neichlim, Daf Kuf Lam Zayin Amud Beis at the bottom of the Omud, and Dibur Maschal Reis and Mugdash and Mugzer, the Rashbam says that the Mekabal matana is not mechuyiv in Oinsim, and he's not mechuyiv in Gneiva Vaveda either, he's only chayiv b'pshiya. If so, here as well, Rabbi Chanan asks, on the tzad that when he gives her sevlonos and eventually she's mechuyiv to give it back, because there never was a nesuin, according to the tzad that the shvach goes to him, Rabbi Chanan says, l'chayra her din, as far as how well she has to watch it, in case it's nignav or nevad, her din should be similar to the case of matana umanas lahachzer, she should not be mechuyiv in gneiva v'aveida. And furthermore, Rabbi Chanan asks, according to the other tzad of the Gemara, that she gets the shvach sevlonos, the pshat is, because when he gives the sevlonos to her, it's considered a matana gemura, it's considered now in her rishos, regardless of what happens later, whether there ends up being a nesuin or not. That's the reason why she only has to pay back eventually according to the price that they were worth at the time she received them. She keeps the shvach. If so, Rabbi Chanan asks, then the din should be that even if there was an oynis, why does the Gemara Dafka say a case of Gneva Vaveda, even if the nechosim were destroyed by oynis, the din also should be that she's mechuyev to pay him back when eventually it's inspired that there will be no nesuin. Since she's kind of the nechosim at the time she gets them, and she just neschayev to replace them if there is no nesuin, so no matter what happens to the nechosim, it happened to her nechosim. For the same reason we say that she gets the shvach because they consider her nechosim, we should also say that no matter what happens to them, even if something happens ba'ines, she should be mechuyev to pay back the sevlonos if in the end there is no nesuin. This is the kasha of Rabbi Chanan, which Lamaisi does not answer. Now, as far as that, Rabbi Chanan asks that according to the tzad, the shvach sevlonos go to the isha because they're in her rishos. If so, even if an ines happened to the sevlonos, the din also should be that she's mechuyev. This har is already found in Kveger. Kveger here points out that l'chera gneva vedas lav dafka even in Ines. Also, the din will be that since it's kam b'shusa and the chasim are considered in her b'shus, she should mechuyev to replace him even if an Ines happens. And he said he's bothered he did not find this anywhere in Rishonim and Achronim. Now, I'll mention another interesting point on this shaila of the Gemara shvach sevlon ismahu, and that is the Yad Rama says that there's an important difference between these two shailas of the Gemara. The Shail of Mahu Sheyushalish, which he was Geris, and the Shail of Shvach Sevlonis Mahu, and that is, since the Gemara concludes as far as both of these Shailis with the Teiku, the Gemara leaves off with the Suffolk, so that they won't be Hamotzeh Mechaveri Olav Araya. However, the Yad Rama says, the two Sveikis will come out different, because as far as the Suffolk of Mahu Sheyushalish, since the Psak is Hamotzeh Mechaveri Olav Araya, then will be that he cannot be Motzi from her. She's considered the Muchzik, she has the Nechosim, and he's trying to be Motzi from her. Hamais Mechavei Olav Raya says that he has to prove that he deserves to get the Sevlonos back, otherwise the Sevlonos will remain by her. However, as far as the next Shaila of the Yad Rama says, Shvach Sevlonos Mahu, there will come out the opposite, because there if the Psak is Hamais Mechavei Olav Raya, she'll be considered the Maitzi and he'll be considered the Muchzik. Meaning in any of these cases where we establish already that the Sevlonos have to go back, and the Safek of the Gemara is who gets the Shvach, but once the actual item is given back, the Yad Rama says, for example, if it's a behemo, so the din clearly is that he has his chus to be tavei and get his animal back. If the animal went up in value, so there's a question who gets the shvach. So since he keeps the animal, and the question now is, does he have to repay her for the extra value that the animal is now worth? So she's trying to be mitzi momen from him, because either way he gets the behemo. The behemo goes to him, and she's trying to claim that he owes her now for the extra shvach, the increase in value, which the animal is now worth. So she's trying to be mitzi from him. Therefore, the psak will be a mitzvah mechaveri olav araya, and he's not mechuyev to repay her. Now, it seems that the Yad Rama has a little bit different way of understanding the two tzadim of the Gemara. The way we explained the shaila previously is the two tzadim are: do we say that his intentions when he gives the sevlonos is only if there will be a nesuin to be able to keep it? Otherwise, he never meant to give it in the first place, and the sevlonos really are in his rishus all along. Or the other tzad is that he means to give it to her either way. Just that she's nischayev, that if eventually there is no nesuin, she's going to repay him, but the moment he gives the nechasim to her, they already become hers. Now, according to the Yadin Raya, it would seem he has a different way of understanding, because he's saying that either way the din is, the husband has the right to get back the original objects which he gave to his wife for the sivloinis. He has the right to get the same behemoths. The question just is, if they went up in value, if she could claim that extra money. It would seem the Yadin Raya understood that even on the tzad to say that she keeps the shvach, it's not the pshat that when he gives it to her, she's claiming them unconditionally, with an eschaivus to pay them back if there is no nisuin. Rather, the pshat is that it's like a matana manas lahachzer. He gives it to her and she has a kinyan in them, but it's a kinyan with a hagbalah, just as a matana manas lahachzer, it's a kinyan for a designated amount of time after which she has to give them back. Here also he gives her a kinyan and she owns it. However, she's going to have to give back these same nechasim if in the end it turns out that they're not going to have a nisuin. Therefore, the din is, as far as the shvach is concerned, that she has the right to keep the shvach because they went up in value while they were in her rishus. However, she has to give back those same actual nechasim because it's a matana manas lahachzer. Therefore, she gives back the nechasim, he gets back those same objects, and he's inscribed to repay her for their increase in value, that which they went up while they were in her rishus. So these are the two tzadim of the shayla according to the Yad Irma, the shayla of who gets the shvach. The tzad to say that he gets the shvach is that it was a tois all along. It's inspired that they're really his, and therefore they went up in value while they were in his rishos. The other tzad, the tzad to say that she gets the shvach, is the pshat, that it wasn't a tais, rather it was a matana omanas lahachzer, which means during the period of time where she had these nechasim, before it's inspired that there will not be a nesuin, then there really were hers at that time. Only in the end, when we find out that there's not going to be a nesuin, then she has to give it back. The increase in value happened while it was in her rishos. These are the two tzadim of the Gemara, and therefore the Yad Irma explains that since the Psak is a Moitzim Mechaveri all of a Raya, since anyways he's going to get back the Nechosim. Even on the side that it was not a Tais, and for a period of time it really wasn't a Rishos, the Mice of the actual Nechosim he's going to get back because it was a Matana Manas Lahachzer. Therefore the Yad Irma says, now the suffix is whether he owes her money, he has to pay her back for the Shvach which happened while it was in her Rishos. She's considered the Moitzim and he's considered the Mochzik. Now just add one more Nakuda on this Chiddush of the Yad Irma. The way the Rashbam over here explains the Shailo Shvach Sivlainis Mahu, he gives an example where there was an animal which was given for Sivlainis, and while the animal was by her, the animal gave birth. Here the Chari would seem that this din of the Yad Irma would not apply. Bishma, if the case is that the animal went up in value because its weight increased and is now worth more, then we can understand, like the Yad Irma is saying, that the animal either way goes back to the husband. The question is if he has to repay her, so we would consider her the Maitzi and him the Muchzik. However, in this case, where the question is as far as who gets the Vlodais, here we're not going to say that either way, Maman of Shach, he gets the Vlodais. The question just is whether he has to pay her for them. Here, on the side that she gets to keep the Shvach Sivlainis, she'll keep the Vlodais. So in this case of the Rashbam, the din will come out that she's considered the Mochzik, and he will be considered the Moitzi. Now, we'll continue on to the bottom of the Omer. The Gemara brings a case, Maise Ba'odam Echad She'amru Lai Ishtai Toitranesi. A person was told that his wife suffers from anosmia, a medical condition where she does not have a sense of smell, and he wanted to be boidik if she really has this mum. Nichnas achreel lechur v'levoidka, omu l'riach tzayin ani mariach. In the end, what happened was, nafla lechur v'omeisa, and the child was whether he has a schus to yarshin her. Amru chacham, hayov le nichnas achreel el levoidka, meisa ein le yarsha. And as we'll see, there are two mahachim when Yishayim had to understand what exactly is the nidin over here. What is the child whether he's able to yarshin her or not? The Rashbam himself brings two pshatim. The first pshat the Rashbam brings is that we're talking about an arusa. There was no nisuin yet, and the din is, as we know, in order for a husband to yarshin his wife, it has to be that they already had nisuin. And the question over here is it considered that they already had nisuin by going together into this churva? And that the Gemara says, Amru chachamim hayov lenichnas achareel el levoitko, since they did not go into the churva for the purpose of nisuin, rather just for him to test her. If she has a mum, therefore the din is, we're not choshish that there was a nisuin over here, therefore he does not get her Yerusha. Now this Rashbam asks, he says, Lo nehira li, that filu ba lea bimei erisin, koidim achnasasa lechupa, lo yarisla. Even if he was bail her, still the din is, he does not get her Yerusha until there was achnasa lechupa. Rashbam understands the nidin of the Gemara is, whether we're choshish that there was a bia when they went together into the churva. And that he asks, even if there was a bia, still a maisa, since there was no hachanasasa l'chupa, therefore clearly the din is he does not yarshin her, even if there actually was a bia. And therefore the Rashbam then brings a second shot that we're not talking about an arusa, we're talking about a nesua. They already had nesuin previously, and the need over here is whether he loses the kayach to yarshin her because he went to check her to see if she has a mum. And this is actually the maskana segamara, And the Rashbam adds that you have to change the girsa of the Gemara. Instead of the girsa which we have, you have to be girsa according to this pshat. Therefore the din is Mesa Eina Yarsha. And the Rashbam explains, Kivan Dehoi B'dayti L'Garsha, Imim Te'enu Balas Mum, U'B'toychach Mesa Kodesh Nispaisa, Eina Yizaycha B'Yerusha. Since he went to check her in on the side that she's going to have a mum, he wants to be Megarasher, at that point already in time, he no longer has a right to Yarshin her. He goes on to say, the Chiddush, U'M'hocha Shaminon, Shamisha Mesa Ishtay M'toych Ketoto, Sheyesh B'dayti L'Garsha, Shuv Eina Yarsha. If a husband and wife were not at peace, and he was planning on being Megarasher, and before he had a chance to be Megarasher, she died, the din is he does not get the Yerusha. And the Rashbam compares this to the case of the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Yud Ches, Mishenosen Ein of Legarasho, Shuv Ein the Baal Peris. Once he decided to be Megarasher's wife, he no longer has a right to eat the Peris of the Nuchsei Malug. Now first he will mention the Marsha, he says, that according to the first chat of the Rashbam, that we're talking about in Arusa, and the suffix is that maybe a day going into the Churva, there's a chash that he was bail her, that would be a reason that he should get the Yerusha. Our Kachach, according to that Lashon, it has to be that she passed the test. It was Nisbar that she was not a Teitranis. Because if she was a Teitranis, then even if he would have been bail her, since he was going in to test her, if she was found to be a Teitranis, he would not want to be married to her. Our Kachach, the case is that she passed the test, it was Nisbar that she was not a Teitranis. And the question just is, should we also assume that there was a Bia, and now he should get the Yerusha? And that the Gemara says that we assume that he only went in to be Baidikar, not for other reasons. Therefore, the din is that she does not get the Yerusha. However, according to the second pshat, the Marshal says, the second pshat of the Rashbam that learns we're talking about in Nesua, and the reason why he does not get the Yerusha is because he wanted to check her to see if she's a Balas Mum, and the Lashon of the Rashbam is, Kivan Dehoyu Bedaiti Legarsha, Inyim Se'en a Balas Mum, his das is to be Megarsha if she is found to be a Balas Mum. And he says, "V'toych kach meisa koydim shenisbaisu, ena yizoycha biyerusha." That she died before he was nisbais. Rashi understands this means to say that it was not clarified that she's not a teitranis. There's still a chash that she is a teitranis. This test, which he did with the reach tznayin, it didn't prove that she's not. And therefore, since his fears have not yet been alleviated, he does not get the yerusha. Now, to go back to the first pshat of the Rashbam, which, as we said, he asks Akasha, that the Bia itself would not be a reason why he should get a Yerusha, the Maisa Taisis learns like this pshat, the first pshat of the Rashbam. However, he answers this kasha by saying that the Churva belonged to him. Meaning, surely the Rashbam is correct that with the Bia alone, that does not accomplish Nesuin, and he does not get her Yerusha. However, the tzad to say that in this case, she does become a Nesua, that's because since the Churva is his, so bring her into the Churva, that itself is considered a Chuppah. It's achnosel the reshusay, which is the essence of a chuppah, and that's the suffix of the Gemara. Do we say that by going into the churva, she gets a din of a nesua? And that the Gemara concludes that since we know the reason why he brought her into the churva is for the purpose of checking her, we don't assume that he also has intentions to do a nesuin with this achnosel the reshusay. If, however, he did not bring her in for the purpose of being baidikur, Taisa says, if he would have brought her in stam, then we would assume that the reason why he's bringing her into his reshus is for the purpose of Nisuin, and then the din would be that he does get her Yerusha. The Rabban and the Rashba both look like this as well, and they stress this last point. The Lashon of the Rashba is, Ilu nichnas acharei l'churva stam, chazaka l'nisuin nichnas. The churva didei havas v'imesa yersha. If they would have gone into a churva stam without any clear intention, we would have assumed that the intention is that it should be done for the purpose of Nisuin. And then the din would be that he does get her Yerusha. And the Adama over here in Eis Ayin Hey, he adds even further. He says, that which Hachnosa L'Rishusay is considered a Nisuin. You see, from Masig, it does not have to be Dafka into a special Chuppah, which was assembled specifically for the marriage, or into some type of base Nisuin, or even to a Churva which he owns. That's also considered Hachnosa L'Rishusay, and that would accomplish Nisuin. Now, as far as the pshat of the Rashbam, that the case is talking about that she was in Nesua, and once he's nichnas levoitka, the din is that he loses the Yerusha, since he had asked to be Megarasha if she's found to be a Balas Mum. So Taisus and the Rishonim argue on this din. They hold that even if a husband plans on being Megarasha's wife, and then she dies, the din is he does get the Yerusha. And that was the Rashbam brought a right from the Gemara in Gittin. In the end of Dibur Maschal, he quotes the Gemara in Gittin Daf Yud Ches, which says, Mishenosen Ein of Legarasha Shuv Ein Lebal Peres. The Rashbam compares that which the din is, that once a husband decides to be Megarish's wife, he no longer has the right to eat the peris from the Nichsei Malug, The Rishpan compares the same thing would apply here as well as far as the Yerusha. So the Rosh over here says there's no raya from Peiris to Yerusha because the Din Achilas Peiris is a Takana de Rabbanon. Then we can understand that the Rabbanon's Takana did not include a case where he knows that he wants to be Megarasher, then he would not have a right to continue eating the Peiris. So Shenkin, as far as the Din of Yerusha, which is the Din Dei Raisa, that which a husband Yashin's his wife, that's a Din Min HaTaira, and there is no Makar to be Mechadish, the Rosh says, just because he no longer likes his wife and wants to be Megarasher, he no longer has the right to get the Yerusha. The Rosh says, Otu Av Shabinoi Soino Yolog Yerushanu. Are we going to say that a father whose son hates him, the son loses the right to get the Yerusha from his father? Surely there is no such a din. And therefore, as far as the Yerusha of a wife as well, there is no such din that the husband loses the right to get the Yerusha in this case. Now, I'll just mention an interesting Rishash over here. The Rishash on this Rashbam writes, that the same way the Rashbam says that the husband loses the right for Yerusha, the same would also be true, the Rishash says, She'ino Yimisabla Leha. There is no din avelos if she dies when they're biktata. The Rishash says, "Diritervayu ksiv l'she'irei hakarav elov." The Torah uses the same lashon of she'irei hakarav elov, both as far as inyani avelos and as far as inyani yerusha. And therefore, the same way the Rishbam says that as far as yerusha is concerned, once they're biktata and he wants to be megarasher, he loses the rights for yerusha. The same is also true as far as dinei avelos. If she dies while they're biktata and he wants to be megarasher, he is not misawal on her. And then the Rishash continues and he says an interesting chiddush lahalocha. He says, Afsha poiskim dochol lipurushay, even though most Rishonim argue on the pirush of the Rashbam, mikomakam le'ini navedlus yesh lismaych olov, the halocha kedivri hamekel be'ovel. Since according to the Rashbam it comes out that the husband will not be misabel on his wife in this case, so even though the Rishonim argue on the Rashbam as far as the Dina Yerusha is concerned, therefore Mislam the Rishonim will also hold as far as Dina Avedlus that he will be misabel aleo, but since l'mais it's a machlekes and the klal is that be'inin avelos halacha k'divri ha-mekel, therefore the halacha should come out that we should be able to rely on the sheet of the Rashbam, and he should not have to be misabel on his wife in this case. As far as the halacha l'maisa, the Yamsha Shleiman Gittin Perek Beis Simen Dalid relies on this halacha, that in this case he would not have to be misabel on his wife. Shleiman Kluger, however, in the Chachma Shleima and Evan Ezer Simen Tzadik, if hey, he argues on this halacha, and he makes an interesting point, he says, even the Rashbam who said, once he decides to megarish his wife, the din is he does not get the Yerusha. He says that's only true bizman the Gemara before the Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershon, where a person had the ability to be megarish his wife even Bal Korcha. Therefore, the din is that once he decides to be megarisher, he no longer gets a Yerusha, and the same will also be true that he would not be misabel on her. However, once already this is a takana of Rabbeinu Gershon not to be megarish a wife Bal Korcha, now already this din does not apply, meaning even according to the Rashbam, the din as far as Yerusha would be concerned, even after he decides to be Megarish his wife, he would get the Yerusha, since it's not B'yadai, he does not have the ability to be Megarish her against her will, therefore he still would get the Yerusha, and therefore as far as Avelis as well, we would not be able to rely on the Shita of the Rashbam, because even the Rashbam would be maskim that Bizman Hazeh, after the Zakon of Rabbeinu Gershim, even a husband who decides to be Megarish his wife, still has to sit Shiva. One can take a look further in the Pisrei Tshuva over there, in Evan Ezer Simon Tzadik, Sivkot and Ches, he brings a number of shitais in this discussion. Now continue on, the Gemara Amud Beis brings Yosef Ravin Tzawa Kameder of Papa, the Yosef Vikomar, Bein Shemesa Hi, Ubein Shemes Hu, or Hadar Hu, the Dinis Sivlainis Hadri, Michael Mishta Loy Hadar, Hadr Ba'ihi, Hadra Filu Kisha Diyarka. The Rashbam explains the Psak Halacha Lemaisa, which the Gemara concludes with, is that Sivlinis She'ina Suyin Levalis. They're given back either if he dies or if she dies or if he's Chayzer. Hashenkin Maichalu Mishte, which the Rashbam is Mavur, this includes anything which is a Suyin Levalis. That's Loihadar, and the Rashbam explains this means to say in the case where the Chosn ate a dinar. This part is already Mavur in the Mishnah and the Braisa. However, Ravin Tzab is Maisif that if she's Chayzer, then Afilu Kisha Diyarka, even the vegetables which she ate also she has to pay back. The Dvov here explains, Anan Sahadi, the Adaita the Hochi Loi Shodar Klum. We can say definitely that he never would have sent anything if he would have known that eventually she'll be Chayzer. Therefore, the din is that everything has to be given back. However, the Gemara is Mechadish, Amar Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, Veshaman Lehent Mei Boser Bezoil. When the Kala and her family have to repay for the food which they ate, which they received from the Chosin, they don't pay back the full value of the food. Rather, they pay bezoil, which the Gemara explains means to say, at tilsa, you deduct a third. Now, the pshat in this din of Dmei Basar Bezoil is Anytime a person is mechuyev to repay for something which he ate, and he's not paying midin ganif or midin mazik, since at the time he ate it, he was allowed to eat it, at that point it was theirs, so eventually when they do have to repay, the din is they only have to pay for the hano which they had from eating the food. And as the Rashbam explains over here, Etzem Zetayna, a person can claim, I would not have been willing to take this hana if I would have known that I would have had to pay for it. I only ate it because I thought I was getting it for free. So the din is that he pays less than the full amount. He pays a third less. The pshat is, we could assume that if he would have found this same food available for a cheaper price, a third less than the regular price, then we surely assume that he would have been willing to eat it and pay for it, pay the lower price. Therefore, he's mechuyev to pay that price for the hana which he had from the food. Now, I mentioned an interesting halacha from the Rambam. The Rambam, Perek Vav, Hilchos Eschiyo, Matana, Halacha, Chav Gimel, he passed into the din of our Gemara, Chazra hi boy, if she's Chazra and she does not want the Nisuin, Chazra kol, everything is given back. Vafidu ha-maychel va-hamashke, Nisenes dom of Bezoil. Now, in the next halacha over there, Halacha Chav Dalid, the Rambam writes like this. He says, Hayru Rabboisai, Shem Hoya Mining Hamadino, Shiyase kol Oros Suuda, V'yachil Reyov, O Yechalik Mois, L'shamoshim, U'l'chazonim, U'k'yotze behem, V'ose k'derech sh'oisim kol ha'om, V'chozer boy, Mishalem esakoyel. If the minig in a specific place is that when a person gets engaged, after his erisin, he makes a suda and he gives out food to his friends, or he gives money to the shamoshim and to the chazonim, then afterwards she's chazer, she doesn't want the marriage anymore, so she caused him a tremendous loss, this is she has to repay all of the money that he spent. Shari Gormaloy La'abin Mamoinoy. She caused him to lose his money. Meaning, in this case, when he went out and he spent money because of his erisin, and afterwards she was chazer, so she was mafsin him all of that money, the din is that she's mechuyev to pay. Now, Nasagas arrived over there, he argues on this din. He says this is only Groma, and Groma bin Azok and his potter. We won't get into this machlikas now between the Ramam and the Ravid. The Ramam Lacher held that it's Garmi, the Ravid held that it's Groma. But HaKoparim, the Kasha, which a number of Achayim ask over here, the Arsameach and others, they ask that since the Rambam in Halacha Chav Daud is Mavur, that if he spends money because of the Erisin, and afterwards she's Chayzer, she doesn't want the marriage anymore, it's considered as if she caused him this Hefsid. If so, what is the Pshat in the Rambam in the previous Halacha, in Halacha Chav Gimel? As far as the Sevlinis, the Rambam Paskins, he only paid Dmei Boser Bezoil, which as we explained, that's the amount that a person is Mechayiv to pay when they're paying for the hano which they got. L'chair, according to that which the Rambam Paskins and Halacha Chav Dalid, that when she's chazer, she's considered to have been mafsed him all that which he spent because of the erisin. There in Halacha Chav Dalid, obviously the chiv is not midin nene, because we're not talking about the hano which she had. This is hano that the oris, the husband, gave to someone else, and still din is that she's mechuyev to pay. Our karkul pshat is because she was goyim him a loss. Once the chiv is ready for the goyim, for causing him the loss, so what's the pshat in Halacha Chav Gimel? How can we say that you only have to pay the mei basar bezoil, which is the shlish less? That would make sense if we'd be mechayev for midin nene. Here, l'chay, we don't have to be mechayev midin nene. We could be mechayev for to pay midin mazik, and then Reish, you should have to pay the full price. Now, Smeach leaves off this kasha b'tzarachin. Now, I'll continue on to the Mishnah, and we'll begin the sugya of matnas shchiv mira. Now, I'll begin with a brief akdoma. We know the din of Matnas Shchiv Merah includes a chiddush, a dvarav kechsuv nechem esurim domi. V'derechal, if a person wants to give matano, a kinyan has to be done. If a Shchiv Merah, a person whose death is imminent, the Rabbanon made a special takana that with his words alone, the matana is already chal, even though there was no ma'isa kinyan. So that's a kula for a Shchiv Merah. There's also a din the other way around, the chumrah, in a case where we know clearly the reason why he's giving the matana is because he believes he's not going to survive. The din is that if eventually he does survive and he gets better, then he can retract and get his nechasim back. Now the Mishnah here says a chilik between the case of koisev kol nechasev la'achirim v'shir karka kol shehu. Then the din is that matnasei kayemes, even if he does get better, still he does not get his nechasim back. The pshat is because a matnas shchiv mirah b'miktas does not have the dinim of a matnas shchiv mirah. We don't assume that he definitely would not have wanted to give the nechasim if he would have known that he would have survived, since he left over some karka for himself, so that's grounds to assume that he wanted to give the matana even if he does get better. However, in the next case of the Mishnah, where he was not mishar karka kol shehu, there the din is eimat nosei kayemes, if he gets better, the matana is not niskayim. Since he didn't leave over anything for himself, we could assume that he only gave it because he didn't believe he would survive, if he does survive the matanis bottle. In other words, the Mishnah is mechag between a matna shchivmera where he gave everything, and a matna shchivmera b'miktas. And the Rashbam over here points out, based on the maskanos of Gemara later on, and the afkuf nun aleph from a beis, that as far as the din of a kinyan, also there's a chilik between a matna shchivmera b'miktas and a matna shchivmera b'kulu. That which we said that a matna shchivmera does not require a kinyan, the varav kechsuv nuchem masurim dami. So if he only gave miktas nechasim, the same way we say the din is that even if he gets better, Matana is Niskayim because we don't assume he gave it dafka because he believed he would die. The same is also true as far as the Chiddush, that Dvarav Kechsuv Nechum Asurim Dami, in a case where he only gave a Mikstas of his Nechasim, the din will be that he does require a Kinyan, meaning it does not go into the category of a Matna Shchiv Mira. In other words, since it's only a Matana B'Mikstas, it's not in the category of Matna Shchiv Mira, both Lakula and Lachumra, Lakula, that the Matana will be Niskayim even if he does get better, and Lachumra, that it requires a Kinyan. Rashbam and Dibar Maschal Matnosi Matano, he makes this point that by Matna Shchivmera B'Miktas, a kinyan is required, meaning even if he does eventually die, the Matana will only be chal if a kinyan was done. Now, Kipshuta included in this chilik between Kuloy and Miktas, that one needs a kinyan and one does not, is also the din in which we know that a Matna Shchivmera, the Matana is only chal la'achar misa. But there, if a person would give a Matana which is meant to be chal after he dies, it wouldn't work. Ashenkin by Matna Shchivmera, that's part of the Chiddush, that the Matana could be Chal even La'achar Miso. In the case of Matna Shchivmera B'Miktas, which as we're saying, does not go into the category of Matna Shchivmera, then the Chayr, the din would be that the Matana is Chal immediately, as soon as the Kinyan is done. Now another important point which is mentioned in the Gemara over there, in the Afkuf Nanal from Adbeiz, is that besides the category of Matna Shchivmera, there's something else which is called Mitzava Machmas Miso. A matna shchivmera is a case where a person is on his deathbed and he gives the matana. He does not specify if he's giving the matana only because he believes he's going to die or if he means to give the matana regardless of what happens. This is the din of Er Mishnah where he didn't say clearly what his intentions are, and then that the Mishnah tells us that we could determine his intentions by seeing whether he was mishayer karka kol shehu. Now, Mitzava Machmas Misa is a different case. That's a case where we have no doubts about his intentions. The Rashbam later on, Daf Kuf Nun Aleph from Adbeiz, explains the cases that he was mis'einin al misosay, he was mourning his own death, which was imminent, and there it's clearly that his intentions were to give away the nechasim because he believed he was going to die. There the din is l'maskanas ha-gemara, it makes no difference if he was mishayer anything, since we know clearly he's only giving away his nechasim because he believes he's going to die. The din is that if he gets better, the matan is batal, even in a case where he was mishayer karka kol shehu. And here again, since his intentions are clear, this creates a kula as well, as far as whether you need a kinyan. Since this is a geder of matna shchivmera, he's giving it away because he believes he's going to die, even if it's only miktas nechasim, he's not giving away everything, still the din is that a kinyan is not required, dvarav kechsuv nechem mesurim dami. In other words, maskana sagamar over there in Daf Kuf Nun Aleph, these two dinim are always tali zebezeh, whenever it is considered a matna shchivmera, a kinyan is not required. Anytime it's not considered a matna shchivmera, a kinyan is required. Now to get back to our Mishnah, what exactly is the case of our Mishnah? Akarach, it's not talking about a mitzvah machmas misa. If we know clearly his intentions, the Mishnah would not have been mechag between shayer karka kol shehu and loy shayer karka kol shehu. Even if he was mishayer, still the din is that when he gets better, the matana is batal. Akarach, the case is talking about that he was not mitzvah machmas misa. And as far as whether there was a kinyan or not, a karka, the case has to be talking about where he made a kinyan, because if not, then in the ratio where it was shayer karka kol shehu, the matana would not be niskayim, since as we said, matna shchiv rabbi miktas does not have the chiddush of kechsuv nechum asurim. Now, based on this, the Rashash asks on the first Rashbam in the Mishnah, the Rashbam writes that even though the lashon of the Mishnah is shchiv rashi kosov kon nechosov, still hu adin im chilek al piv beloy ksiva, the din is true even without a ksiva. Just by the words of his mouth, the matana is chal. He brings the gemara later on, daf kuf nun vav amud beis, iman shal b'nei roichel. There is pavur that a matna shchivmera works not only without a kinyan, but without a ksiva either, just by an amira. Therefore, the Rashbam says in Emrishna as well, the ksiva is lav dafka. And the Rashash asks, l'chera, based on the maskana of the gemara later on, the ratio of the Mishnah has to be talking about whether there was a maisa kinyan, since it's a matna shchivmera b'miktas, the din is that a kinyan is required. Rav Kveger in the Mishnayos asks his kasha as well, and they say that the comparison which the Rashbam makes So the case of Imon Shobnei Reichel, it's difficult, because that case, even though it wasn't Matna Shrim Rabbi Miktas, that case was talking about Mitzava Machmas Miso. Therefore, even if the Matana was B'miktas, still din is Dvarav Kechsuv Nechum Surin Domi, you don't need a Kinyan. Ashenkin Er Mishnah Karcha has to be talking about where it was not Mitzava Machmas Miso, as we explained previously, because if it was, then the din would be that there's no chilik between Matana B'miktas and Matnas Kulu. Even a Matana B'miktas would be considered a Matnas Shrimera, and he would be able to be Chayzer. Nashar says, L'chor, you have to say that the Rashbam is going, according to the Manomer later on, there is such a shita who holds that even a matnas shrim b'miktas, the din is that a kinyan is not required. That shita holds that on one hand a matnas shrim b'miktas has the mail of a matnas shrim that dvarav kechsuv nechum surim dami even without a kinyan, yet it's still not the same as matnas shrim mera. A matnas shrim gom where the din is that if he gets better, he gets back as nechosim. If it's only b'miktas, the din is he does not get back as nechosim. According to that shita, that's what the Rashbam over here is writing, that you don't even need a ksiva. With an Amira alone, the kinyan will be chal. But Hakopanim la'alocha, and the ratio of the Mishnah, the din will be that you need a kinyan. Now we should stress that ksiva alone would not be enough. If you just write a shtar, that's not automatically a kinyan. The shtar has to be handed over, there's dinim, how to make a kinyan with the shtar. The reason why the Mishnah mentions ksiva is because the normal derech is that a shchiv merah used to write up a shtar and have Edom sign on it to be used as a raya. So there won't be any questions later on what exactly it was that the Shchiv Merah said. But Hakoponim, in the ratio of the Mishnah, you need a kinyan, and you really do not need a ksiva. In the Sefer, where you're not Mishnah any karka, you do not need neither a kinyan nor a ksiva. Now I'll mention just one more point on the first Rashbam in the Mishnah, that which the Rashbam concludes, it has to be that we have Edim that at the time he wrote or gave the Matana, he was a Shchiv Merah, or it says in the shtar itself, which the Edom signed on, that he was a shchimer at the time. The Pnei Shlema asks on this Rashbam, similar to the kasha of the Rashash and Rabbi Kveger, that l'maskanas asugya in the ratio of the Mishnah, a matnas shchim rabbi miktas really is not any different than a matnas bari, and therefore my sekinin has to be done. If so, why would you need edus that at the time he gave the matana, he was really a shchimera? It's no different than a regular matnas bari, a full kinyan was done. It makes no difference whether he was a shchimera or not at the time. So again, you'd have to say this would be another raya. The first Rashbam is going on the tzad that a matnas shchimera b'miktas really is begeder a matnas shchimera. Only as far as being chayzer the din is different, but as far as a ma'isa kinyan, it's the same. A ma'isa kinyan is not necessary. Therefore, you would have to also have a raya that he was a shchimera at the time. As Rashbam says, you would have to have either edim or would have to say so in the shtar. Now, as far as the ikar din of the Mishnah, that if he's shayar karka kolshu matnosei kayemes, loishir karka kolshu ei matnosei kayemes, so the Gemara explains, the din of loishir karka kolshu is because as linan basar umdina, we can rely on this circumstantial evidence, for now which he didn't leave over anything for himself, surely his intentions were only to give the matana if he doesn't end up surviving, otherwise he wouldn't have left himself with nothing. Mashenkin, if he was shayar karka kolshu, there the din is matnosei kayemes, there we assume that the matana was given unconditionally. Now in the Yad Raman, Ois Ches, he makes an important point over here. He asks that in the first case of the Mishnah, where he was Shayar Karka Kol Shehu, why would that be a reason to conclude that he means to give the matana even if he lives? Perhaps the reason why he left over a little bit of Karka is in order to be Mekayim the Din Yerusha Midai Raisa. If he would give away with a matnas Shchiv Merah all of his Nechosim, so the Din Yerusha De Raisa, and the closest relative gets to Nechosim, whoever that may be in this case, that would not be Niskayim at all. Maybe that's why he left over a little bit of karka in order to mekayim that din Yerusha Midai Raisa. And Mikoyach this kasha, he says an important point, and he says that in the ratio of the Mishnah, we do not need any umdina. In other words, only in the seifa of the Mishnah, we're trying to be mevatal the matana, we're trying to undo the matana which he gave. For that already, you need a solid umdina, and that's the need in the Gemara, Mantana does linen basar umdina. Who is the one who holds that you can rely on such an umdina to undo the matana? There you need an umdina. Mashenkin, in the previous case, where he was shayar karka kol shehu, so it's not the trap that being mishayar is an umdina that he means to give it unconditionally. You don't need any umdina. Being mishayar karka kol shehu just accomplishes that now there's no opposite umdina. Once already there's no umdina that the matana was conditional, then by default we go back to assuming that the matana was given under all circumstances, and if the noisin matana wants to claim otherwise, he would have to bring a raya. Now in the case of loy shayar karka kol shehu, where the din is ein matnasei kayemes because of the umdina, we have to clarify what exactly is it that the umdina tells us. The lashon of the Rashbam And the Mishnah in Dibur Mascha Loi Shayar Karka Kol Shehu, he says, his Lashon is, Lav Adaiti Dehoch Yoev Lei, Shem Yamayid Mechol Yoy, Yomus Berov, V'yitztarech Lebriyos. Again in the Gemara, in Dibur Mascha Mantano, he says a similar Lashon. He says, Amdinon Daiti Shem Nisayish Menachayim, Ulhochi Loi Shiyar, V'adaiti Dehoch Yoev, Shem Yomus Tiskayim Hamatono, V'im Yamayid Tachsir Loi V'loi Tiskayim Hamatono. Kepshuta, the Rashbam is learning that the Umna is, and his das was only to give the matana if he dies. If he does not end up dying, then he never meant mitchila to give the matana. And the shayla on this is, and this is discussed at length in the Stipler and the Kilos Yaakov in Simim Mem Aleph, he asks, why does the Rashbam have to say that the kinyan is nisbatel because he never meant to give it if he's going to live? The whole din of matna shchivmer as a din derabbanon is the takanas chacham kadesh leitzer of daitay olov. As we mentioned earlier, the kinyan is only chal la'achar misa. And if so, the Stipler asks, why don't we say that the reason why the kinyan is not chal is because he could be chayzer before the kinyan has been chal. It's only chal la'achar misa, and he never ended up dying, he's still alive, he could be chayzer now, therefore even if eventually one day he will die, but now already he was chayzer and the kinyan was not chal. The Stipler says this is similar to a kinyan la'achar la'mil yoyim. If one is mekadesh isha la'achar shleishim, we hold halacha like the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan in Kedushin Daf Nun Tes, that before 30 days he could be chayzer. Or if one is makna chayfiz lachar shleishim yom, also the din is he could be chayzer. Why don't we say the same thing over here? Why do we have to come on to an umdina that tells us that he never meant to give the matana in the first place if he'll end up dying? And the Stipler says that lachar you have to say that this umdina is only necessary in the case where he really did a maisa kinyan. He did a regular maisa kinyan which would be chal right away. They didn't say that the matana is only going to be chal lachar misa. Therefore, without the umdina, he would not be able to be chayzer. And that the Mishnah tells us that since there's an umdina, but that which he gave away all of his nechasim, it's clear that he only meant to do it because he thinks he's going to die. Therefore, if he ends up living, the matana is in this battle. It's not the pshat that he's being chayzer. It's too late to be chayzer. He didn't do a matana to be chal la'achar misa. He did a kenyan which would be chal right away. For that case, you have to come on to the umdina. According to this, the Stipler says, by a regular matna shchiv merah where he did not do a kenyan, there in that case, there are really two reasons why, if he gets better, the matana is in this battle. Firstly, because he could be chayzer, since the kinyan is not chal until la'achar misa, he always has the ability to be chayzer. And even if he wants to be chayzer for a different reason, not because he thinks he's going to live, he could be chayzer for any reason he wants because the matana has not yet been chal. And secondly, you also have the umdana that he only meant to give the matana because he thinks he's going to die. If he doesn't die, then the matana is in this battle. So again, according to the Stipler, you only have to come on to the reason of the umdana in the case where there was a maisa kinyan. And the Stipler quotes in a Muki Yosef later on in Daf Kufna Aleph, who is Mavur like this. The Gemara Daf Kufna Aleph from Aleph says the Klal, any time Rav Shchiv Merah could be Chayzer, if he gets better, he also has the ability to change and give the Matana to someone else, even if he does not get better. And that the Muki Yosef writes, that this Klal is not true in all cases. If he did a Kinyan Gomor, then the din will be that if he gets better, he could be Chayzer and get the Matana back. But if he does not get better, then he cannot change the Matana and give it to someone else. In other words, Rabbi Yosef is saying, if he does a Maisa Kinyan, so the Kinyan is Chal right away, therefore he cannot change and give the Matana to someone else, the only way he could get back the Nechasim is if he ends up living, then he gets it back for a different reason, not because he's being Chayzer, rather because of the Umdina, he never meant to give it if he's going to live. Based on this in Rabbi Yosef, the Stipler says, that's the answer to the Kasha, why do you need the Umdina? You need it in a case where he did a Maisa Kinyan, so he would not be able to be Chayzer, the only way he could get back his Nechasim is if he ends up living. And based on the umdana, we say that he never meant to give it under those circumstances. Now the Stipler continues, however, and he says, this mahalach will not work b'das haRambam. The Rambam in Perek Ches, Hilchos Schiyu Matana Halacha Yud Ches, the Rambam over there talks about the case of a Shchiv Merah Shekosov Kol Nechosov Upiresh Shenoysen Hakol Me'achshov V'hikne Mechaim. He wrote a shtar, and in the shtar he said b'feirish that he wants this Matana to be chal right away. If he did not write in the shtar that it should be chal right away, that's a different nidoin. That's a discussion in the Gemara later on in Daf Kufn and Beis. A machaikis between Rav and Shmuel. We'll discuss that later. But if he wrote b'feirish in the shtar that he wants the matana to be chal right away, there the Rambam says this does not have a din as a matna shchiv mirah. This is the regular matnas bari with a kinyan b'shtar which is chal right away. And therefore the Rambam says the shchiv mirah cannot be chayzer from this matana even if he gets better. The din is that the kinyan was already chal. This is not like the Nuki Yosef. The Stipler said, "B'das Muki Yosef, that even if you said that the kinyan should be chal right away, still the din is that the umdana of the Mishnah will apply." In that case, the Stipler explained, "Without the umdana, you would not be able to say that he could be chayzer because in that case the kinyan was chal right away. It's not like a kinyan lachar lamid, but still the din would be, the stipler says b'das and muka yosef, that it could be chayzer for a different reason because of the umdina of the Mishnah. Even if you wrote beferish in the shtad that it should be chal right away, still the muka yosef holds that the umdina will apply, and if he gets better, we assume that he never meant to give the matana. The Ram is chalik on this nakuda. If he made a regular kinyan b'shtar to be chal then at the time, we don't say he has a din of a matna shchimera, and even if he does get better, the din is that the matana is chal. If so, the kasha would remain on the Rambam. What is the pshat in our Gemara? Why do you have to come on to an umdina? Since according to the Rambam, the case of our Mishnah, our Karchach, is not talking about where he wrote in the shtar a kinyan and he wrote that it should be chal immediately, because in that case, the umdina will not help. Our Karchach did not say in the shtar a kinyan to be chal miyachshov. If so, the kasha remains, even if this matana would be chal, it would only be chal lachar miso. Why do you have to come on to an umdina? Let's just say that since this man has not yet come, he could be chayzer. And as we said previously, this would be nafkamina. He could be chayzer even for any reason. Why do we need this umdina? So the stipler suggests Bedas Rambam a different pshat in the sugya. He says the Rambam understood the umdina of our Gemara different than the Rashbam. The Rashbam understands the umdina. It tells us that on the tzad that he would live, he never meant to give the matana at all. The Rambam understands the umdina tells us this gufa, that he only wants the matana to be chal at la'achar miso and not mechayim. And the stipler says this is actually clear in the lashon of the Rambam in Perek Chesel Choschiyah Matana Locha Yudalid. When the Rambam brings our Mishnah, he says, Shchiv mera shekosov kon chosov matana stam velo yishir klum im omad chayzer. And further on in that halacha, he explains why is it that im omad chayzer she umden dasu shloy nosen ze hakoil el v'niskaven shloy yiknu klum ele la'achar moisei. The Umdin Agufa tells us that his das is, in this case when he gave away everything, that nothing should be chal, the kinyan should not be chal until la'achar miso. The Rambam clearly had a different pshat in the Umdin of our Gemara, not like the Rashbam. The Umdin tells us that he never meant to give the nechasim if he lives. And the reason why he could be chayzer is because the matana has not yet been chal. And why is it that matana has not yet been chal? Because of the Umdina that tells us that he would not have wanted that the matana should be chal immediately. He would have wanted that it should only be chal la'achar miso. If so, it comes out that according to the Rambam, the reason why he could be chayzer is not because he was a tais and he never meant to give the matana. Rather, he could be chayzer because it has not yet been chal yet, and that gufa is based on the umdina. The umdina is what tells us that he only meant the matana to be chal la'achar miso. So to summarize, according to the Muki Yosef, there are two possible reasons why the Shchiv Merah should be able to be chayzer if he does not end up dying. In a regular case where he did not do a ma'isa kinyan, there are two reasons. Firstly, because the matana has not yet been chal until la'achar miso, therefore he could be chayzer and he could give the matana to someone else as well. The second reason is that the whole matana was given bitchila only al das that he's going to die. If he ends up living, he never meant to give the matana. In the case where he did a ma'isa kinyan, even if he said the kinyan should be chal right away, still according to the Muki Yosef, he could be chayzer. But here it's only because of one reason. Here it's not because the matana has not yet been chal, but etzim it was chal. Here because it was a tais, the umdina tells us that he never meant to give the matana if he ends up living. According to the Rambam, there is only one possible reason why a Shchiv Merah should be able to be chayzer if he ends up living, and that is because the matana has not yet been chal. That's the reason why he could be chayzer totally, or he could be chayzer and give the matana to someone else. And this is all based on the umdina. That's how we know that he only means for the matana to be chal la'achar miso. According to the Rambam, there is no umdina that tells us that the whole kinyan is a tais, he never meant to give it if he ends up living. And therefore, in the case where he said clearly that I'm doing a kinyan and the kinyan should be chal right away, there the Rambam would hold that he cannot be chayzer. Since the kinyan was chal already, there is no such umdina that tells us that he never meant to give it on the side that he's going to live.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf in Shas, including Maariv Mekayimus on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.